In point of fact, Major Niklos's scouts did their job perfectly. They'd had ample opportunity to study a copy of the map which had come with Garvey's letter. Their copy omitted all of the detailed information whose origin would have been difficult to explain, but it was more than sufficient for them to pick up their landmarks as they circled around the harbor district. Garvey's men moved through the shadows of warehouses, avoiding the glow of lanterns where still-open taverns served their customers. The lead scouts were far enough ahead to spot even the occasional prostitutes before they could notice that the better part of 300 guardsmen were slipping through the darkened streets of Talitha. Most of those prostitutes, and the handful of other pedestrians who fell into the scouts' clutches, were more than a little uneasy to find themselves requested to accompany Garvey's troopers. None were foolish enough to mistake the politeness of the invitation as an indication that they had any choice, however, and one look at the grim-faced guardsman was enough to convince any of them to keep his or her mouth shut, rather than risk raising the alarm. They might not know exactly what Garvey and his men were up to, but they knew enough to be certain it was none of their business, whatever it was. Despite his own careful planning, and despite the experience of the scouts Niklos and Ulsten had chosen, Garvey was actually surprised when they managed to get all the way to their initial objective without raising a single alarm. Aside from a handful of dogs who'd taken exception to their presence, and a handful of involuntary fellow travelers they'd swept up along the way, no one in the entire city seemed to have taken the least note of their presence. "Doesn't say much for the local guard's alertness," Garvey mused. "Not that I'm going to complain about it, tonight at least. But Langhorne, I knew we were taking precautions, but I have to wonder if these clowns would have noticed us if I'd come in with a brass band and a torchlight parade." On the other hand, he supposed Earl Stormkeep and his fellow conspirators might have been discouraging the city guard from noticing anything they weren't supposed to notice. "In fact," he thought slowly, "maybe we aren't the first bunch of armed men to be creeping around in the middle of the night. If they've been working on this as long as our letter-writing friend says they have, they may have marched quite a few men through Talitha to collect arms from the warehouses here. That could explain why all the locals are being so careful to avoid noticing us." That thought made him even more grateful for the 10 additional transports and the 6 escorting war galleons, which ought to be about 5 miles out at the moment. Of course, they'd hoped for a bit more wind when they were laying their plans, and it was entirely possible their reinforcements, an entire regiment each of Imperial Marines and Coruscantian Guardsmen, were going to be delayed. "Well, if everything goes the way it's supposed to, we won't need reinforcements," he encouraged himself, resolutely not thinking about how seldom everything actually did go the way it was supposed to. He wished he had a better notion of exactly how Porter was doing, but timing was actually less critical than it might have been. Porter's objective was, ultimately, as important as Garvey's. But unlike Garvey, Porter was supposed to be pouncing on a mostly empty, or at least currently unoccupied, building. Garvey's objective, on the other hand, was most definitely occupied. Which, considering who the occupants were, was the real reason it had been assigned to a completely Coruscantian force. He peered down the boulevard at the luxurious walled mansion. Like the city itself, Stormhouse was a fairly recent construction, no more than 50 years old, and it had little in common with old-fashioned fortified seats like Baron Larchros's manor in Cerebor, or for that matter, even Earl Craggy Hill's residence in Velena. It had lots of doors and windows, and very little in the way of built-in defensive features. The wall around Stormhouse, no more than 7 or 8 feet tall, was more for privacy than protection, although it was probably enough to at least delay any intruders, especially if anyone behind it knew the intruders were coming. According to the letter, which had been delivered to his study, Stormkeep had no more than a couple of dozen armed retainers here in his townhouse. Talitha might be his city, but there was a limit to just how openly he dared to operate, even here. On the other hand, Garvai had to assume any retainers he did keep here knew all about his plans and were fully committed to them, which suggested they might well offer resistance, especially if they didn't immediately realize just how outnumbered they actually were. And it wouldn't take a great deal of delay for the really important fish to slither out of the net before he could scoop them up.
"Get your second company in position, Major,"
he whispered to Niklos, and heard the Major's own murmured order being relayed from man to man. A few moments later, the designated company moved off, gratifyingly quietly, and he settled back down in the shadows, waiting. He gave the moving company long enough to get into its pre-chosen position, covering the back side of the townhouse from the spacious park attached to it, then waited that long again as a cushion. Only then did he turn back to Niklos and nod.
"Go," he said simply.